Good morning, everybody. Today is our final session of our themed preaching service. Today's theme is Thomas, Facts Before Emotion. So we'll think about that theme as we go through the service. Let us pray. We come to worship as we are, known by God and called by name. We come with our doubts and our fears to a Lord that knows doubt and fear too. We come, weary and weighed down, to the Spirit who breathes new life into us and sends us on our way rejoicing. We now follow the prayer on the screen. When I reach rock bottom, God, you are the only one who listens. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word, I find hope. My soul waits for the Lord. I carry so much guilt, God. Only you can deal with it. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. My soul longs for you to ease my trouble and to lighten my darkness. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Only you can save me, God. Only you can save the world, and you will. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Amen. We join together in singing our first hymn from Mission Praise 269, I Do Not Know What Lies Ahead. We come before our God with our prayers of adoration and confession. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you. All we have comes from you. You are the resurrection and the life. We worship and adore you. You are the God who brings life from death, hope from despair, beauty from ashes, and flesh to dry bones. Thank you that you include us in your great promise, that you offer us a fresh start and a new beginning, a life following you. Thank you for the precious gift of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to listen to your prompting within us, strengthening us when our faith is tested, when we are tempted to take a different path and behave in a way that does not honour you. We come with busy hearts and minds. Let us confess to God all those things we should not carry. The response for this prayer is on the screen. O God, forgive us when we cannot see you for all our questions, when we refuse to believe out of uncertainty or fear, when we don't recognise you at work within us. Forgive us, God of mercy. O God, forgive us when we keep you to ourselves, unwilling to share your joy with others, preferring to stay in our comfort zones behind closed doors. Forgive us, God of mercy. O God, forgive us when we muddle up our priorities, misunderstand our purpose and potential, and do not listen to your calling. Forgive us, God of mercy. We thank you for taking our sins away from us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've brought with me today a bag. In this bag, there is something that you have to guess what it is. I'm going to ask you to start with to try and guess what's in the bag without touching or feeling it. A cross. You're not allowed to guess, Mark, you've seen it. Okay. Could I then have a volunteer to guess what's in the bag without opening the bag, even though it's coming open on its own? Yes, Ben. No, I wouldn't have done that to you, don't worry. No, it's not a double-decker bus. Pine cones, yes. That's it, brilliant. So, this has gone a bit shorter than I thought, anyway. Faith is being certain of what we cannot see. Today, we are looking at the story of Thomas, most commonly known as Doubting Thomas, but that title itself is debatable. He wouldn't believe that Jesus was alive again until he was allowed to touch and feel Jesus' wounds. Are there any things today that we cannot see but know they are there? I know one of them kept me awake last night. The wind, yes. Can anyone think of anything else?
Electricity,
yeah.
Gravity.
Thank you. I was going to say, what's keeping us on the ground today? Magnetism, that's a brilliant one, Brian. I didn't think of that one. Anything else? Love. We can see, we can't necessarily see the, like, I'm not covered in, like, red things when I'm loving someone, but we can see the effects of love. We can see the effects of God's love in the world as well. Brilliant. So I'm going to hand over to Sue now to introduce our next hymn.
I've chosen our next hymn to go with last week's and the week before lesson. This week we're talking about the Transfiguration, but the hymn that I wanted to sing was one that I thought about one day when I was sat nursing Bruce, but he's too busy with his cars. And I was looking at his little hands. And if you've ever sat and held a baby, I think we've all done it, you look at the little hands and they're so perfect. They're wanting to grab the microphone. And you look at them and you think, I wonder what those hands will do. One day they'll become old and gnarled like mine, but they'll do lots of things in their lifetime. They might be a nurse like mummy's, they might be an engineer like daddy. They can do all sorts of things. But the hymn I've chosen is that the most important thing is that our hands are kind hands, and that whatever we do with our hands, we need them to be kind, and we need to do things for Jesus with them. It's a shame. I love this hymn, and it's not in, I think it's only in hymns and psalms now. It's not even in mission prayers. So it's Jesus' hands were kind hands.
So now Rosemary's going to share our first reading for the day with us.
The reading can be found on page 1077 in the Church Bibles. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It's when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Thanks be to God.
Just as insight came slowly to the blind man in John 9, so this is a story in which Jesus patiently opens the minds of his friends to the significance of who he is. John explains this right at the beginning of the story when he tells how Jesus stayed away after he heard of Lazarus's illness. The disciples are unprepared both for the fact that Lazarus is dead and that Jesus is walking knowingly to his own death. Thomas's claim that they will die with him is bravado, rising out of lack of understanding. But the point of the incident is so that the disciples may believe. It's noticeable how Jesus uses different approaches with different people and groups, in line with their level of understanding. Probably in the community that first received John's gospel, there were various levels of commitment and understanding, just as there are in our churches today. How has God approached us and called us at the level of our understanding during the course of our lives? Who has God used? How has our faith developed under the coaching God has provided through others and through our lives' events? How is God coaching us now? Can we give thanks? How do we, as a Christian community, seek to meet each other at the level of commitment and understanding where each of us is? What is our provision for newcomers and children? How do we continue coaching each other in the faith? We continue to ponder on the story of Thomas as we sing our next hymn, Oh, the Bitter Shame and Sorrow.
Our next lesson comes from St. John's Gospel, page 1082 in the Pew Bible. Comforting words for Jesus' disciples, which are just as relevant for us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Thanks be to God.
This reading is packed with journey imagery and the comforting concept of home. Part of the Duke of Edinburgh's award scheme involves planning and taking part in an exhibition. Candidates are expected to plan a route meticulously, but nevertheless, if the weather closes in, it is possible to become hopelessly lost and frightened. What does it feel like to be lost, with no way to understand the carefully researched map? Having been lost, what does it feel like to find signposts to mark the way? How does Jesus act as our waymarker? John Denver's song, Country Roads, Take Me Home, describes his longing to be in the familiar surroundings of home. Our gospel reading describes Jesus telling his disciples that he is going to the Father to prepare a home for them. Jesus famously asserts, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Do we see our journey of faith as being a journey leading us home to God? Do we see Jesus as our way, truth, and life? And how do we respond to those who don't? Thomas is singled out in his reading as first despairing, then uncertain, then doubting because he hadn't seen the risen Jesus. Here, the way he is supposed to know is the testing journey that lies ahead. It is going the way of the cross. It is remaining faithful when all around you attempted to give up. Thomas is not the only one not to understand, not to see. Even Peter has to ask the same question. But remember that Thomas is also the first to acclaim Jesus as my Lord and my God, illustrating the move from doubt to faith and from death to life that we all can make ourselves. Many dwelling places encourage us to imagine a place, God's kingdom, with roots for all kinds of believers, and in which everyone is welcome. But think not only of different denominations, different groups of Christians. Think too of individuals of different spiritual styles. Does our church's mission statement express this? Does our practice in worship, in outreach, social activity, service, in every way reflect this? How might we become or improve at being a house where there are many dwelling places? We'll now hear our final reading for the morning. Thank you, George.
Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God."
We sing again, "May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We cannot prove most of the things we hold as dearest truths. They are acts of faith, of trust. If we try to prove them, that trust could break down. There was a man who told everybody how much he trusted his wife's fidelity, but to prove it, he hired a private detective to track her movements. This is a contradiction in terms. Either he trusts her or he doesn't. Prove there is a God, and then I'll believe. Belief is about not knowing but trusting at a deeper level. Few of us have tested for ourselves that Britain is an island. We trust others who have carried out such investigations. Not to believe Jesus' words is to either consider him a liar or that he is mistaken. We believe Jesus' teachings because we believe in him as a person. In today's final reading, the newness of all that is happening is too much for some. Thomas's reaction echoes our need to be touched by the living presence of Jesus. This encounter replays the larger theme of Jesus breaking through barriers and freeing the disciples from fear by offering peace. Thomas's needs are met by a Christ who invites intimacy and is recognized through vulnerability and loving openness. We, who have not seen the resurrected Christ as the disciples did, may be intrigued by their stories, but coming to faith is all about personal encounter, meeting the God who lived a human life and who longs to live with us now. Do we disapprove of Thomas for wanting proof? He only wanted what the others had been given. We all need something to pin our faith on. What underpins your faith? What challenges have caused you to make a leap of faith? The other disciples had seen Jesus. Thomas had not. Jesus had come to the ten behind locked doors. Thomas had not been with them. We don't know why. He may have had to go away to attend to some business or family matter. He may have been the kind of person who needed to cope with his grief alone. Whatever the reason, Thomas was without that experience of seeing the risen Christ. How did the disciples impart that news to him? We read they kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." How might he have felt when the others told him what had happened? Would he blame himself for not being there? According to other references to Thomas in the Bible, we learn that he tended to question that which he didn't understand. The witness of others wasn't enough. We don't know whether the disciples were supportive of Thomas in his doubting Jesus' resurrection, or whether they just expected him to believe their story. How do we support those having a tough time with their doubts, faith, and belief? When Thomas had the opportunity to experience the risen Christ for himself, something very special happened. We might consider whether Thomas stayed at the foot of the cross until the very end. He spoke about seeing the marks of the nails in Jesus' hands and putting his finger in the place where the nails were. Unless he did that, he did not believe. Jesus appears again and invites Thomas to touch his wounds and tells him to stop doubting and believe. When Thomas sees Jesus, immediately he believes. The encounter is concluded with words of blessing for those who believe but have not seen. Much of faith is about experience, and experience is different for everyone. If a number of people witness the same incident, every one of them will tell a variation of the same story. Had one or more of the other disciples not been present on the first occasion Jesus came to them, would they have believed? Would we have believed the other disciples had they come and told us that Jesus was alive? Being prepared to keep on our faith journey, which often tells us that what we don't see can be more real than what we can see, is a challenge for all Christians. Doubt is a natural and healthy part of faith, and working through it helps us grow our faith. The story of Thomas's encounter with the risen Christ is often portrayed as a story of change from doubt to faith, but we should be careful not to miss the end of the story, the climax of John's Gospel. This story is not just about how Thomas comes to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and not even just about how we must believe, even though we have no physical proof. It is about what happens when we do believe. Through believing, we have life in Jesus' name. Thomas is there for us to understand our own faith. We can read him in two ways, both of which can be helpful. He could simply be demanding certainty as a loyal disciple, hoping beyond hope that what he has heard is true. The model disciple. Or he could be read as a character that represents ignorance and unbelief, demanding something that we shall never have ourselves, physical proof. Either way, we discover that what really matters is that we confess our belief, like Thomas, in the risen Christ. When we do that, we discover something beyond even faith, life itself. Remember Jesus' words, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." What makes us believe in Jesus? The answer will vary between Christians and will probably include finding belief through the Bible, prayer, and worship. But perhaps most people discover Jesus through those who live Christ-like lives. Is it true that faith is not taught, but caught? Although he is labelled doubting, Thomas is only asking for what his friends have already experienced, to see for himself. and he is the first to acknowledge the risen Christ as both Lord and God. When he encounters Christ firsthand for himself, Thomas no longer needs the evidence. He demands to touch the wounds of the nails and spear. Meeting Jesus is enough. How do we, as disciples, preachers and witnesses, help people to encounter Christ firsthand through our testimony? In the book The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, Edmund doesn't believe his brother and sisters when they encounter Aslan after they had all seen him killed, and he needs convincing for himself. Because he misses out on that first encounter, his whole experience is different from theirs, and it makes his life much harder. Thomas similarly misses that first encounter with Jesus, but makes up for it when he sees Jesus a week later. That week must have been a very strange one for him, with his friends telling him they had seen Jesus, while he steadfastly refuses to believe it. How do we feel when we seem to be missing out on the experiences that others are having, particularly in a Christian context? Maybe we feel that God is distant, or maybe we feel that we are somehow second-class citizens. We should take encouragement from Thomas's story, and in Jesus saying that those who believe without seeing are really blessed. Thomas is often remembered as doubting Thomas, but he asks sensible questions. Jesus provided what Thomas needed to get his answers, even if it took a while. Questions should never be a problem in a church. Any questions should be able to be asked, no matter how much it may seem to challenge the status quo or the dominant voices in the church. Dismissing the joyfulness of the other disciples, Thomas refused to believe. His questions deserved to be heard. Quick and glib answers can do a lot of harm. The best questions are usually the ones that require a lot of wrestling with to find an answer. Sometimes there may be no answer, but that doesn't mean we should avoid the questions. We all have different needs, in faith as much as in any other area of life. So the journey of faith will take each of us to different places. But while our needs are different, we all need our own encounter with God. Thomas says he won't accept the resurrection until he feels the physical body of Christ. However, he believes without actually touching Jesus. The encounter was enough. Sometimes what we think we need is not what God offers to us. The questions we have aren't necessarily answered directly by God. But when God gives an answer, as Thomas discovered, the questions seem less important. Oscar Wilde described a cynic as one who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. When we touch gospel gold, we know in our hearts that all else is base metal in comparison. Thomas is sceptical of the resurrection. Unless I see and touch Jesus' wounds, I will not believe. When the risen Christ invites him to do exactly that, Thomas does not seem to want to do it anymore. My Lord and my God, are his words of response, an act of faith. What we think we will need to convince us is not necessarily what does convince us. So what convinces us today that Christ is risen? Is it the certainty of those we find most trustworthy? Or an inner conviction? Or seeing how others have been transformed by the experience of Christ? Or is it the result of struggle and doubt? It is not important how we made the journey of faith, but that we can respond like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Amen. Hopefully everyone was given a cross on their way into church this morning. Speak now or forever not hold a cross in your palm. As we come to our prayers, if we hold the cross in the palm of our hand to help us focus, and the words will be on screen. The prayers are the wrong way round, Mark. No. Have I not given you the prayers? Sorry. When I say, at these times, please respond with the words on the cross. Help us to trust in you. At these times, help us to trust in you. Sometimes we are a bit like Thomas, not quite sure what's happening. At these times, help us to trust in you. Sometimes we find it hard to believe in all that you have promised us. At these times, help us to trust in you. There are times when, like Thomas, we demand to see the evidence. At these times, help us to trust in you. There are times when we are not sure of the truths others tell about you. At these times, help us to trust in you. Thank you that your cross reminds us that you are always there for us. When things are difficult, help us to hold on to the truth that you died for each one of us. Amen. We come now to our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, which are on the screen. For loving the world so much that you came to live on earth, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For loving people so much that you wept when your dear friend died, thank you, Lord. For loving me so much that you hold me in your hand and call me by name. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lead us on to love your world, to love each other, and to love ourselves, to your glory and praise. Amen. Amen. We live in a world where many doubt. We pray today for those who doubt because no one has ever shown them the love of Jesus. Lord, have mercy on each one. We pray for those who doubt because of the circumstances of their lives and don't hold any sign of a God of love. Lord, have mercy on each one. We pray for those who doubt because they have been hurt or let down by others, or have never learned to trust. Lord, have mercy on each one. We pray for those who doubt because of war or natural disaster has destroyed them or those they love.
Lord, have mercy on each one.
We remember in our hearts those who are ill, particularly for the Haith family, and particularly for Brian. We pray for those who doubt because they are in the dark night of illness or grief. Lord, have mercy on each one. Lord, we pray for all who doubt your love, for whatever reason. Shine your resurrection light in their lives. Lord, have mercy on each one. Amen. We join all our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus himself gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and deliver us from temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In response to all that God has done for us and given to us, let us take up our offering. Lord, accept these our gifts, along with our lives, for the sake and purpose of your kingdom. Amen. We join together in singing our final hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Joyce will play the first verse twice so that we get a hang of the tune, so we don't get lost in the tune and miss the meaning of the words. Lord, thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy, that in you we find life. You lead us throughout our lives, always beside us, always faithful to us. Go before us now, and may we bring joy to our world. Amen.
Amen.
Let us share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.